Greetings in the name of the Lord. Over a period of time, we've been studying the subject of the ministries of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer and in the world. First of all, we studied some of the general ministries of the Holy Spirit. We took a number of different passages of Scripture from the Gospels and then from the Epistles. And we didn't try to study any of them very deeply, but we simply tried to delve into them a bit and just to show you what we believers could expect in our lives through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. The great tragedy today is that so many Christians have no idea, first of all, about the ministries of the Holy Spirit, and then they don't apply the ministries of the Holy Spirit to their own lives. It is God's will and God's desire that we not live our lives in defeat and despair, but that rather we should realize that we not only have the hope of eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ, but now we have the indwelling Holy Spirit who lives in our lives constantly and is there to help us live our lives and to go through our lives until we meet the Lord. And so we took a long series of messages on just these general ministries. In the last half of this series on the Holy Spirit, we've been studying some topical studies on the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the lives of believers. We've taken three different topics already, and now we're discussing the fourth topic. First of all, we discuss the ministry of the Holy Spirit in giving and using spiritual gifts in our individual walk in the world and in church life. We talked about these gifts of the Spirit, and the reason I emphasize this in a long series of messages is because it's so much misunderstood. There's been so much false teaching on the gifts of the Spirit, and many, many Christians, therefore, are afraid of the gifts of the Spirit. They're afraid that somehow they will be mistaken for those who teach false teaching. So we spent a long time on this. And then the second topic we discussed was the ministry of the Holy Spirit in evangelism. And we spent a little bit of time on that as well. And the reason is because we need to understand, first of all, how He uses us as individuals in witnessing for the Lord, and then how He works in the lives of the people to whom we're witnessing. How wonderful it is that the glory goes back to God as we realize that we're only human instruments. Now, human instruments are important, and I've tried to emphasize this throughout this study. It's very important that we understand that God uses human instrumentality. But we're still only human instruments. It's the Holy Spirit that empowers us, that uses us, and that impresses the gospel upon the hearts of people. And then third, we studied the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our study, understanding, and the application of God's Word. And this is a very important subject as well, because as we walk with the Lord, we don't study God's Word from a purely mechanical or legalistic standpoint, just because someone is requiring us to do it. Rather, we desire to study the Word of God, we love the Word of God, and with the help of the Holy Spirit, we can study it and understand it and apply it to our lives. How wonderful it is when we're walking with the Lord in His Word. Now, the fourth study that we're doing is a study that's somewhat related to the first three, and it's the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our spiritual growth and in our faithful walk with the Lord. In other words, this is like the outgrowth of the other three. As we faithfully follow the Lord Jesus, we love the Lord Jesus in our hearts, we're expected to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus. And I want to talk about that, the spiritual growth we have, and then our faithful walk for the Lord as a result of the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So let's come back to this subject now on the fourth study, the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our spiritual growth and in our faithful walk with the Lord. In the last message, we just took the introduction to this subject, how important it is that we realize that we need to grow in the Lord Jesus Christ, and the means of growth is a ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So let's discuss this today, and then we'll be continuing this in at least one more message. This is how the Holy Spirit works within us in our growth and faithful walk. I want you to look first of all at 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 17 and 18, where he says there, we are to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now the purpose of this passage is to focus our attention on why we're growing, what our growth is all about, and it's very important that we be properly focused in our attention upon the one whom we are serving and the one whom we're following and the one to whom our lives are completely devoted. In verse 17, he warns, first of all, of the danger we face with those who themselves are not spiritual, not saved, in other words, perhaps some of them are, and who would teach contrary to God's will and desire for the Christian life. These men will seek to take us away from our steadfastness in following the Lord and living the Christian life. Now, this verse is very important to understand. There are always going to be false teachings in the world. It's not only through the cult groups we recognize the dangers of the cult groups abounding everywhere, Guam and every other place. But it's not only the cult groups that will lead us astray. Sometimes those within our own midst are going to seek to lead us astray as they introduce some kinds of false teachings. The Galatians had this problem. In Galatia, Paul had labored there in the cities of Galatia only a very brief time. And in Galatia, the people were uninstructed in the deeper things of the Word of God. Even their leaders were perhaps not properly trained, even though Paul tried to appoint leaders on his way back to Antioch again in chapter 14. Nevertheless, these leaders were probably not properly trained. And so there were some people who came into the church. They were masquerading themselves as Christians, as true believers, but they were teaching the people that it was not just through faith that we could be saved, the grace of God through faith, but rather we also had to follow the law of Moses. This, of course, is a completely false teaching. Romans teaches us, Galatians teaches us very clearly, we're not under the law of Moses anymore. We're, of course, under the moral principles of the Old Testament, but we're not under these hundreds of regulations of the law of Moses anymore, contrary to the teaching of some. And so these books very clearly teach us this. And so now Paul is back in Antioch, and now he's writing these Galatian believers, trying to straighten them out concerning this subject. We're saved only by the grace of God. We are kept by the grace of God. At no point do works ever become for us a means of our salvation, either of gaining it or of keeping it. And so we're saved entirely by the grace of God. I am completely unworthy before God. There will never be anything in my life that makes me worthy. So false teachers do come. They came in the churches of that day. Even from within the churches, sometimes false teachers would arise. Men who perhaps claimed to be saved, but never really were genuinely born again. Now in verse 18, he addresses the area of our lives we're especially to guard and devote ourselves to. And it's very important again, I want to emphasize this truth. Jesus Christ is the focus not only of our salvation, but is a focus of our lives as Christians. And we need to understand this truth very, very clearly and hold fast to this truth. Now, in salvation itself, we recognize that though there are many religious people everywhere, very, very devout people who live and die very, very devoutly, nevertheless, these people perhaps are substituting some other person, some other thing, for their focus on Jesus Christ as the only means of salvation. In salvation itself, I've emphasized this truth again and again. The Lord Jesus himself said, John chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And so we understand this truth very, very clearly, and we follow this truth with all our hearts in being saved. But then after we are saved, Jesus is still to be the main focus of our lives. And so in our growth in the Lord Jesus Christ and in our faithful walk, it is Jesus whom we are following. It is Jesus who has put the Holy Spirit in us. It is Jesus who is the one we're exalting and praising and honoring in our lives. And we need to keep this focus very, very clear. So in other words, he is the main focus of our lives, and there is to be no other main focus of our lives except the Lord Jesus himself, following him, obeying him, being dedicated to him. Now in John chapter 15, verses 4 to 6, Jesus had emphasized this same truth in dealing with his disciples just before his crucifixion. Their whole lives were to be devoted to abiding or living in Christ. Jesus said, live in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit except it live in the vine, no more can you except you live in me. Otherwise, he is saying to them, they could not succeed either in the Christian life or in anything they would seek to do for him. When you study 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 and 15, you read these words, "For the love of Christ constrains us or controls us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead." And then this phrase, "that they who died should not henceforth live for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again." And then again in Philippians chapter 1, verses 20 and 21, "According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing will I be ashamed, but that now as always, Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." And so in those two passages, beginning of course back in John chapter 15, the three passages, in these three passages, Jesus is emphasizing this truth first to his disciples, and then the Apostle Paul, writing by the Holy Spirit in the inspired Word of God, emphasizes the same truth concerning the Christians who are following the Lord Jesus. Now, when you look back in John chapter 15, and let me just touch on this again very, very briefly, Jesus was dealing with men who were not very spiritual. They were still a bit proud and arrogant. They had been chosen by the Lord Jesus. They had shared so many experiences with him. And now they had this proud spirit. And now there was some jockeying among themselves who was the greatest among them, even as they come to the table of the Lord. So the Lord Jesus is trying to change their focus, take their focus away from themselves and upon the Lord himself. And so it was not until after Pentecost that they finally seemed to be completely dedicated to the Lord and focused on him. After Pentecost, they really didn't have many more problems concerning this, because now they have the indwelling Holy Spirit, and the Spirit was controlling them and keeping their focus on what it should be. Now in John chapter 14, verse 26, John chapter 15, verse 26, John chapter 16, verses 13 and 14, the Lord teaches that one of the main ministries of the Holy Spirit would be to concentrate their lives on himself. He talks about how the Holy Spirit would teach concerning himself, how the Holy Spirit would lead them into a greater understanding of himself. And then in chapter 16, that very, very wonderful passage, how the Holy Spirit would bring glory to the Lord Jesus. He would not take of his own things, but he would take of my things and give them unto you. He shall glorify me. These were the words of the Lord Jesus to his disciples. And so this truth is a very wonderful truth for us. Now, I want to say this very respectfully. Many people, in some of their teachings, have lifted up the Holy Spirit and have given the glory to him, taking the glory away from the Lord Jesus himself. And Jesus clearly teaches, no, the Holy Spirit's purpose in your lives is to lift me up and to teach of me and to lead you into greater truth concerning me, and to help you remember the words that I have spoken unto you. And so this ministry is very, very important. The Holy Spirit teaches who he is, what he is, what he has done, our relationship with him, and how we are to honor him in our lives as Christians. And what a very important ministry this is. And then in Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, in speaking of our daily walk with the Lord, he answers a question concerning how they could possibly have victory in their lives if they were no longer under the hundreds of regulations of the law. Now he's shifting the focus slightly here, not away from the Lord Jesus, but he's shifting the focus here upon how we are to live and to grow in the Christian life, how we can do it, and what will be our means of achieving success in the Christian life. I want to talk about this a little bit later with you. But I just want to touch on it now, and then we'll come back to it in the next message. In this passage of Scripture, these people now had been told in chapters 1 to 4 of the book of Galatians that they are not under the law. He says, for instance, now that faith has come, we are no longer under the tutor. And so the tutor had been the law itself to help them in the Old Testament come to the Lord Jesus. But he says now that faith has come, we're no longer under that tutor. The teaching is very, very clear. Now there was a misunderstanding concerning this. And the misunderstanding was, well, therefore, I am free from the law, and I'm free to do as I please. So in Galatians chapter 5, verse 13, and perhaps we'll touch on this passage again. In verse 13, he tells them, no, you're not free to do as you please. In other words, we're not to use freedom from the law as an opportunity for the flesh. And then that wonderful passage in verse 16, which we'll be coming back to, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. What a wonderful, wonderful truth this is, that here is the Holy Spirit in our lives giving us victory in our Christian lives. Now, I need to close this message for this time, but I want to encourage you to grow in your Christian lives. The danger is that in our Christian lives, we will be satisfied with the levels we've already reached. And I have learned at my age, there is never a time in my life when God will permit me to stop growing. In other words, I am to make this my objective. I'm to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus. And as long as I have studied the Word of God, and as many times as I ministered for the Lord, God is teaching me, I still don't know enough. I still don't know everything. And I can draw closer and closer and closer to the Lord Jesus. And this would be my prayer for each of you, that in your lives you would draw nearer to the Lord Jesus, and that he would be exalted and lifted up in your lives, and you might be completely devoted to him. May the Lord bless you, each one.